you know who you are, and you're able to move forward in the destiny that God has for you, because God has a destiny for us. Sometimes that destiny comes very, very late in life. I want to talk to you just for a moment about forgiveness, because I find today there's such an attack on the family. There's such an attack between mothers and children and fathers and children. There's such an attack that brings strife and uneasiness, because I think the devil knows that if God can come in and bring good relationships between mothers and fathers and between children and their parents, that he knows that healing will take place when good relationships are formed. I want to tell you a little bit about my life, a little bit about my mom for a moment. I, like Claude, I didn't know you had the same number, but they had the same number of siblings. Mom has had 14 children as well. I have 3 brothers and 10 sisters. That's a lot of female in one home. And oh, I was burdened down. I say that because there's a few of them here. I'll not let them talk today. But we came up, in a strong Catholic, a French Catholic background. And boy, you were in church every day. Or not every day, but every Sunday. I mean, grew up in the era of, if you were in church on Sunday morning, it was a mortal sin. I mean, you were in big time trouble. It was no good just to think, well, I'm kind of tired today, so I'm just going to sleep in. Oh, no, that's not on Sunday morning. That didn't cut it. I mean, you had to be dead before you weren't allowed to go. Generally speaking, in the Catholic Church. And when I got saved in 1980, when I got to know Jesus, when I use that term, when I got saved, I simply mean that when I began to have right standing with God, when I realized that Jesus Christ died for my sin, and that if I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, that he would wash my sins away and I wouldn't have to pay for them. Right. That's what I mean. And when that happened, of course, I began, the Lord started speaking to me about his word, and I began to get into it, and I began to allow his word to feed my life. And one thing that Joanna said this morning in prayer room, we had a great time in prayer room this morning. You know, some of you need to be there if you really want to be encouraged in prayer. It was great. But she mentioned that something about God's word being full of God. And that's what it was like when I came into the kingdom. I found God as I read the Bible and so forth. And I found the Bible was full of God. And of course, that changed me. But in the process, of course, I wasn't looking to the Catholic Church anymore. I came out of the Catholic Church. And I began to get fed better in other places. So I went where I felt fed. I'm not suggesting that you can't get fed in the Catholic Church, but I'm just telling you my journey. And so I came out of there, and for years, a fellowship with Protestant churches and so forth, and this hurt my mom tremendously. I mean, she didn't know what to do with that. She used to tell me she would pray that I would be a priest. And so when I came out of that, oh man, the pain that caused her. And unfortunately, she didn't handle that pain very well. Now, as it turned out over the years, that I think to some degree, bitterness crept in there. Now, I want to say this before I say anything else. I think the world of my mom. I love her. I think, you know, she's just the way Claude spoke about his mom. I love her. I think she's absolutely wonderful. I do. But there's some things, but like I said, our mothers were not perfect. And my mom wasn't perfect either. And she lived in this world, and she got hurt out of that pain of coming out of the Catholic Church. And I talked to her a little bit about it on different times and on different occasions. But just to tell you to the degree of how it hurt her. I remember one time after going to her and said, "Mom, aren't you glad that, you know, I don't drink like I used to? I used to drink a lot, and I used to do drugs. I don't do that. I used to party and do this and all that, and I don't do that anymore. Aren't you glad about that?" And her response was, "Well, you could have still did that and be in the Catholic Church." And that was true, but her everything else overshadowed this, see, the fact that it came out of the church. And so this went on for many, many years. And about 6 weeks ago, I think it was, that she had a serious stroke. Would it be about 6 weeks, Diane? Yeah, she had a serious stroke. And just before that, I was with her. And I was sharing a little bit with her one night. And I said, "Well, Mom, I want to ask you to forgive me for the pain that I've caused you." And I said that to some degree throughout the years, but this time I wanted to make sure she heard me. And I said, I want to ask your forgiveness." I looked her in the eye. Now, if you'll listen to me closely, you'll understand something about forgiveness that can change your life, that can change your experience. I looked her in the eyes and I said, "Mom, will you please forgive me for the pain that I caused you by coming out of the Catholic Church?" Now, I wasn't saying that I did the wrong thing, but what I did caused her a lot of pain. That's what I was addressing. I said, "Mom, will you forgive me for the pain that I caused you?" And she got a little bit quiet, and she looked at me and she said, "You know, of all the children that I have, I only have three left in the Catholic Church." And of course, a lot of that was put on me because I was the first one that kind of come out of that. And so a lot of that was pain, I think, came from me. And this is why I was asking her to forgive me. And then she said this. She said, "But I've forgiven everybody." And I said, "Thank God." I said, she said, I've forgiven you all for that." And my thought was, that's wonderful. I needed to hear that. But my thought was, "Now, Mom, can you take this to the level?" I never said this. I never said a word to her about this. But my thought immediately was, "Now, Mom, if you could just ask your children forgiveness for the pain that you caused them for showing your disappointment constantly and causing guilt and shame to come upon much of the family." I just thought that. Now, if she could do that, then she could be released. You see, I really realized that for her to say that she forgave me, I was released. Now I was desiring to see her released. And although I never said a word to her about her, because I just wasn't where she was at. So shortly after that, she took a severe stroke, and she ended up in the hospital. And we thought maybe she was going home. It came pretty close. And so anyway, it took a little while for her to be stabilized, and then she came and she got stabilized. And when she came through the imbalance of the drugs that they put her on and all the rest of it, and she began to talk, it seemed like she had an experience with God. It seemed like she had a marvelous experience with God. And she began to go to her children one by one and ask forgiveness for what she put off onto them, one by one. And I know God did something, because it was just night and day. And she came to, Joanne was just telling me that she was up there to see her, and she grabbed her, Joanne grabbed her to say goodbye, and Mom just hung on to her and said, "Joanne, you know how when I talk about the church and so forth, that this thing was kind of hanging on me, and it was kind of coming off on others." And she said, "I want you to know that that's gone. That's gone." There was something on her she didn't even know about, because she was walking in unforgiveness in that particular area. You see, that's what happens when we hang on to unforgiveness. And so she went to each one, each family, and asked for forgiveness. I phoned her up earlier this week. And I talked to her for a while, because she hadn't talked to me. And I thought, you know, when she sees me, she'll probably share that with me. But I called her on the phone, and then I went to say goodbye to her. And she said, "Just a minute, Bill." I said, I need to talk to you." And so some of my sisters were with her at the time, so she wanted to get into another room and be quiet. And so she began to talk to me and ask me for forgiveness, for holding things against me, for what happened. Now, the interesting thing about that, and of course, I was just, and this is important. When somebody asks you for forgiveness, don't ever say, oh, that's okay, it didn't really bother me. That's the wrong thing to say. The right thing to say is look them straight in the eye and say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Whenever you say, when you look at somebody straight in the eye, you say, I forgive you. That releases them. And I sure wanted Mom to be released. And that's the words I said to Mom. I said, Mom, I forgive you. I'm so glad to hear this. I forgive you. And it brought new freedom to her. It brought freedom. If there's anything between us, we get ourselves in a place of bondage where we cannot express truly who we are. I think unforgiveness is one of the major tools that the enemy has used to get into families and to cause strife. Sometimes we don't feel that we've done anything wrong, but the problem is, just like when I suggested to Mom, I said, Mom, I've asked forgiveness for the pain that I caused you for coming out of the church. I, no doubt, I didn't do it just right. And I'm convinced to this day that I did the right thing, but it still caused her a lot of pain. So I still had to address that. Even if it wasn't painful for me, even if I thought it shouldn't be painful for her, it was. And so I had to go to her and say, will you please forgive me? And then when she came and looked into my, and said this to me over the phone, like it seemed like she couldn't wait until we met. She had to get it off her chest. That God moved upon her in such a way that she couldn't wait. I want you to know that was a thrill for me. Now, my mom is 85 years old. Some of you need to do that long before you get to 85. Some of you need to have this kind of experience with your children so that you will bring new freedom into the home. This is Mother's Day. It's a great opportunity to deal with mother issues. Jesus will be there to help, because the biggest thing that he's all about is forgiveness. It doesn't make any difference whether our moms did something wrong. I did some things wrong as a father. Debbie and I went to our children before and asked for forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. And I did some things, and I'd like to be able to go back and fix them. You know what? There's nothing I can do about that now. There's nothing I can do. But I can release, I can ask for forgiveness. Be a good forgiver. Be good at asking for forgiveness. That's one thing that the Christian life is all about. Ask. Ask. Scripture says, ask and you shall receive. If you ask for forgiveness, you shall receive forgiveness. Jesus is all about asking for forgiveness. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise that things will go well with you and that you'll live long on the earth. The scripture says, if you will honor your father and mother, honor them if they're good. No, it didn't say that. Honor them if they do everything right. Didn't say that. It says, honor your father and mother so that things will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. In other words, you'll receive a blessing from honoring your father and mother. Claude honored his mother when he was up here. I believe the things that I've said about my mom, I honor her. I believe it's honoring her to speak about her, to her, and about her. For her to come to that place was an awesome, major, major thing. And somehow, through the whole process, she grabbed on to what was right, rather hanging on to what had her in prison. That's what unforgiveness does. Keeps us in prison. Causes us to lose freedom, causes us to lose confidence. But you and I, when we come as Christians, we know that we have the power of God to bring healing to situations, to bring healing where it seems like there could never be healing. charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who reveres the Lord will be praised. Proverbs, a woman who reveres the Lord will be praised. They brought us into the world. We want to show honor to them. And we do that by releasing them from any responsibility of any negativity that we have in our lives. I used to get pretty disappointed when I learned some things about how families should run. And when we study some books sometimes and we study about how a good family should function, we can get disappointed and say, well, I never had that in my life. I didn't know that this was a way a family was supposed to function. And I used to get disappointed and really allow anger sometimes to come into my life toward my own father, who never did the things that really should be done with the family. Although he was a good dad, I love him, I think he was absolutely wonderful. And the Lord really jerked my chain one day when I believe that he said, stop thinking like that, because he didn't know the stuff that you know. He didn't read the books that you read. He didn't get the information that you got. Had he had it all, maybe he would have been better at it than I am, or ever was. And it's the same thing with our moms. We are to love them and honor them. Now, I want us to think about what we're going to do right now. We're going to have communion. And I want us to think about this communion table this morning as another dimension or another statement of faith that we belong to the kingdom of God. Whenever we take communion, this is what it's all about. It is about showing all those around us, but also all the heavenly forces, that we are God's children. We belong to the kingdom. And as we do this, we are saying that the heaven's resources are available to us. The communion table talks about entering into a covenant with God, talks about a relationship with Him, talks about demonstrating that we have asked Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Now, I want you to stand with me for a moment, please. The Apostle Paul gives us some instruction about communion and about how we should receive communion. And the only criteria in receiving from the communion table, the only criteria we have coming to the communion table is, have we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? And the Apostle Paul tells us to examine ourselves. And he says that it's a time of reflection, a time of looking. God, is there anything between you and me? Is there anything that would put me out of right standing with you in my life? It's an opportunity to say, I lay that down. I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be with Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to trust Him as my Lord and Savior. It's as simple as that. And many times, when we take a step of faith, we always find God will meet us there. I want to lead us in a prayer, because, you know, it's very unlikely that when you have a crowd this size that there wouldn't be somebody who has never really made that statement. There may be quite a number. But I want to pray a prayer, and if you have never prayed this prayer before of asking Jesus to come into your life, I want you to pray it to Him and pray it in all sincerity. God knows where your heart is in this, and it's taking a step of faith to enter into the kingdom of God. If you're already a Christian, then I want you to pray this prayer as another declaration that you belong to Jesus, that you belong to the King. It's so important that you and I speak with our mouths our faith. We declare before heaven and earth that we belong to God. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize that I need a Savior to wash away my sin. I recognize Jesus as the Savior I need. I pray that His blood would wash away all my sin. I come to you now and I ask you, take over my life. Help me to walk with you on this earth. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the Holy Spirit to help me now to be a child of God. I declare Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.